When Queen Victoria died on January 22, 1901, Britain entered a new century with the confidence of an imperial giant and the unease of a society beginning to question its own foundations. The Victorian age had lasted for more than six decades. During that time, Britain had transformed itself through industrialization, urban growth, technological innovation, colonial expansion, and political reform. Its ships sailed across every ocean, its merchants traded in nearly every major port, and its flag flew over territory stretching from Canada to India, from Africa to the Pacific. Yet beneath this image of stability and power, the country was changing rapidly. Old assumptions about class, gender, work, politics, and empire were coming under pressure. The years that followed the Queen's death would reveal a nation that was prosperous but divided, proud but anxious, and increasingly aware that the social order inherited from the 19th century could not remain untouched. The accession of King Edward VII gave the new era its name. Edward had waited a long time to become king. He was 59 years old when he inherited the throne from his mother, and his personality differed sharply from Victoria's. Whereas the late queen had come to symbolize duty, mourning, and moral restraint, Edward was sociable, worldly, and comfortable in the company of aristocrats, politicians, artists, and European royalty. He enjoyed fashionable restaurants, horse racing, travel, and the pleasures of elite society. His reign, which lasted from 1901 until his death in 1910, is often remembered as a glittering interlude between the sternness of Victorian Britain and the catastrophe of the First World War. But the apparent elegance of the Edwardian age should not obscure its deeper tensions. It was an age of luxury and hardship, confidence and fear, spectacle and protest. For the wealthy, Edwardian Britain could seem almost effortlessly refined. Country estates remained symbols of status and authority. Aristocratic families employed large staffs of servants, hosted elaborate dinners, attended dances, and moved between rural residences and elegant London homes. The social season brought together the upper classes for balls, theater performances, horse races, garden parties, and royal events. In the capital, new restaurants, hotels, theaters, and department stores reflected a culture of consumption that was becoming more sophisticated. The West End shone with electric lighting. Motor cars, still expensive and relatively rare, appeared on city streets and country roads. Wealthy travelers crossed the Channel or boarded ocean liners for longer journeys abroad. The age seemed polished, stylish, and self-assured. Yet this world belonged to only a small portion of the population. Britain remained a profoundly unequal society. The aristocracy retained significant land, wealth, prestige, and political influence, but industrialists, financiers, merchants, and professionals had also gained power. The upper middle class included successful lawyers, doctors, engineers, civil servants, business owners, and managers. Their homes might not rival the great estates of the nobility, but many employed domestic servants and enjoyed a comfortable standard of living. Beneath them stood a broad and varied lower middle class of clerks, shopkeepers, teachers, salesmen, small business owners, and skilled employees. This group often valued respectability, thrift, education, and social advancement. Its members were sensitive to the boundaries of class and eager to distinguish themselves from the poverty and insecurity experienced by much of the working population. Class in Edwardian Britain was not merely a matter of income. It shaped speech, clothing, education, housing, manners, leisure, and expectations. Accent could reveal a person's background within moments. Clothing signaled whether someone worked in an office, a factory, a shop, a household, or a mine.